The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mindpumpradio.com.
Get stronger.
Big.
Faster.
Big biceps.
Yes.
Listen.
Click the yellow button.
Mindpumpradio.com.
If you're serious.
It makes you hard.
And?
Big.
Faster.
Leaner.
Stronger.
Hot. You get hot and sexy, Adam. Sexy and hot. Both.
Fasting guide.
Both of them. Lean. You get ripped. You get energy.
MAPS anabolic program.
Even hotter. Even sexier.
Nutrition survival guide.
The panties will drop.
No BS six-pack abs.
It's there. You get abs. You get a six-pack. You can get even an eight-pack. I've even seen people with a 14-pack.
MindPumpRadio.com.
Click on the yellow button. Get it all now.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Do it, Justin.
Rape me, my friend. Yeah. Rape me, rape me again.
You know what's...
I'm not the only one. That's all I got.
You know what's...
I feel like that's a depressing song.
You know
today.
What's weird?
You know, no, normally
just
we're...
Just a little bit. I'm going to break it down. This is what's weird right now. You're 2 weeks out from a show. Yeah. Adam's 2 weeks out from a show. You've eaten probably zero carbohydrates today.
I've had 50 grams of carbs total. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
And
I'm fucking starving.
You look like Skeletor.
And the people in the room... And all of us are in here, and the two crapped out people are me and Justin.
I know.
Adam's got a big ass
smile. What's up with that? Yeah.
Because I'm a motherfucking gangster, bro. Nah, that's what's up.
You know what my problem
what?
Is?
What?
You know what my problem is?
What's
what?
Your problem?
I am I'm such a hypochondriac. It's such a, gets on my nerves.
Dude,
do you guys know how many times I've had cancer in the last 2 years?
What's going on with your body now?
Yeah, dude? I know.
Fuck.
This guy is so hilarious.
So I kind of tweaked my neck like 3 weeks ago, and it's, you know, you guys know that, right? And it's been bothering me a little bit. And then I've been getting this weird, like, prickly kind of sensations on my face, on the right side of my face. So I do, you know, what I always do when I want to know something. I go on Google.
Oh, no. And, they tell me you got a stroke.
I have either a brain tumor or multiple sclerosis. So I'm a little crap.
Those are good options.
And I know I'm fine because I went to the chiro, and he's like, oh, it's your neck. And he adjusted me, and it feels a little bit better, but...
Dude, you are so the opposite.
I'm the opposite of you, Adam.
You are so the opposite. Yeah. I'm the guy who's like, I'll be in the bathroom and my girl, and I'll be like, oh shit. My girl's like, what? And I'm like, I've been shitting blood the last couple of days. This is kind of weird. And she's like, oh my God, we have to go to the doctor right now. And I'm like, no, let's just see if it'll pass.
Yeah.
a week goes by. Hey, hon, I'm fine.
Oh my God.
I hate it.
See, that's different than me, though. Like,
yeah, so what's going on, dude? Like, well, all sad
I had
tired.
Like this bloody nose, and like I was in the bathroom, and I was brushing my teeth, and also my nose just started dripping and then just gushing out. And like, I just like Sal, I had this like, oh my God, I think I have like a brain aneurysm or something. Like, something's going on. I'm going to die. And then immediately, like, I always think that I'm like overstressed when my body starts reacting, like, mm-hmm. and doing weird things. And so I started like getting all huffy because, you know, we had these chickens in my house. Like,
I saw that, bro.
Wait, what?
He posted on Mind Pump the other day. This was just like 2 days ago.
You have chickens in your house?
Yeah, they were. Well, they were in my house. Well, they were in my house first, right? So we had them in this like Tupperware container.
Can we back up one step real quick here? First of all, how did it come about? Getting chickens in your why are chickens in your house before you tell me about the horror?
Yeah, this is a I think he I posted like fresh. When they're little chicks, like, so how long, maybe it's been like 3 months, I think.
Okay, so did you like incubate them and have them from
yeah
you, oh shit are
yeah,
you serious
yeah, yeah. So we got fucking four of them.
Old McDonald had a farm over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Listen to this guy.
What are you doing in the bathroom? I mean,
what's so funny is like so my wife is like from Almaden, like San Jose area, and originally, and so she's not a real like outdoorsy chick, let's just say. you know, I had to actually convince her somewhat to go live where I grew up, and which is where we are now. It's all in the redwoods, and it's like all woodsy and, you know, animals and critters and insects. And, you know, at first when
that's gross.
Yeah, when we went out there, yeah, it's gross. She was all afraid of all these bugs and everything, and now she's just like this mountain woman, you know. Like great. She just sort of acclimated to it, and then it's funny because her friends out here give her shit about it all the time. So like, you're like a hippie.
Do you have like neighbors, or is it like, how does it work? Because I grew up in like, you know,
he does, but they're not close.
I have neighbors. Well, what's cool is like, so there's like a neighbor that's like in front, and the houses to the sides of me actually are like summer homes. So, and they're far enough away. I have a pretty decent sized lot. So my dog, basically, I just let him out and he just, you know, roams free. And my kids just, they play with, you know, sticks and look for banana slugs. And it's just like, full on, like,
so I grew up like that, so I totally appreciate outdoorsy. That. As much as I don't want to be there anymore, I totally appreciate the type of kids that you get that way. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's the, you know, they're gonna grow up knowing,
man, they fall down hills and scrape their knee, and
like you said, play with sticks and slugs and just weird stuff like that. Like,
so are the woods in your backyard then, basically?
Yeah, we're right, like, I have this redwood tree that literally like is penetrating through my deck just to get through like to the front door, and
his place is gorgeous.
So we got so we got like, the problem is though is that I don't know what kind of spider is near this tree.
Well, I'm not going over your house.
Yeah, I don't know what spiders.
Every now and then, when the weather is like it is right now, we get these huge spiders on the like, I have a 2-story house on the bottom floor, like. These spiders have been just going into just my older son's room, and I'm almost every single day I'm killing at least 2 of these things.
How big are they?
Monstrous. Like, one of them was probably the palm of my hand.
Fuck! Holy shit!
Yeah. That,
I'm not even exaggerating.
Holy shit, like that?
That.
Dude, bro.
It got to a point, so I wear Chucks.
I trip out when they're like the size of like a nickel, bro. A nickel-sized spider's in my house. I don't like that.
I literally, like, and I'm not usually that scared, but when they get that big, I'm like, I kind of froze. It took me like maybe 5 minutes before I'm like, okay, here I go. I'm going to get them. You know, and they're always in like this weird angle spot on the top of the ceiling where it's like, oh my God, okay. If I miss it, it's going to jump on me.
Exactly. You try to smash it, it gets away still.
Oh, shit. And so, like, I practice, you know, with like the side of my shoe, and then finally I get the courage and wham, I hit so hard that like I kind of got it, but it was enough impact to where it at least knocked it out. And then I stomp on it, you know, real quick on the ground.
Fuck. I'd be the first. I'd be like, honey, we need to have a meeting. We need to move.
Right.
So, I saw a spider the size of my hand.
So we got critters. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of critters.
So tell me the chickens. How did this come about? Now, was this your idea, your wife's idea? What was the purpose of it?
This is what's crazy. It was my wife's idea. And like,
oh, that's why you were sharing with us about her being city, and now she's totally changed.
Exactly.
She actually wanted some chickens.
See,
when you said you had chicks in some Tupperware, I was like, fuck, let's do it. But I didn't realize you were talking about chickens.
Yeah, I'm not talking about 6-pack bags and asparagus in there.
Are they hens that lay, or are they like...
All hens, bro. Okay. Yeah, no males. If you get males, like, I don't know, we'd probably have to give one back or... You know,
Rhode Island Reds. What are the breed? You know,
I don't know. I know 2 of them are black, and the other ones are kind of spotted brown. So, yeah, you would know. You're Mr. Farm Boy, huh?
It's been a long time. That's right. Yeah, no. We had chickens. We had Rhode Island Reds, but we had, and then we had a I forgot what the name of our golden brown hen was. But
I like the black ones are really like people friendly. Like, they actually don't. Shy away when I go to pick them up and stuff, and like, they're really good with like my son, you know. And I had through this whole process of them being chicks, I had to kind of teach them to, you know, be gentle. Like, they're animals. Like, you treat them like, you know, you would like want to be treated. And because he was like, he'd be like pouring dirt on them, you know, like throwing them up in the air, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Awesome. You know, it's been a learning process, and it's good for them. So I really feel like it's been good for them, but at the same time, it's, you know how it is when like you get home and there's a smell and then there's this dander and like even if there's anything on the floor, like you just get kind of like, ugh, like my house isn't like totally tidy. So I was living for like 3 months with these things in there, and it was just like it was on my dinner table. And then there was just no room for them.
Did you get them to for the eggs? Is that why you have
them?
Yeah.
So we're growing them for the eggs, which is like perfect timing because you guys heard about that that flu that went around that killed all these chickens.
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, yeah. So there's been this flu that wiped out a bunch of chickens, and so I guarantee you the price of eggs is going to go up.
The bird flu came back again.
It must some kind of bird flu. Yeah, I don't know exactly. Yeah, but yeah, it's in the news.
So how was Google. Okay? So I'm so not handy. I actually have to call someone over to change a light bulb in my house. So did you actually put the hen house together yourself or?
Yeah, so we got this kit. And I got to give my wife credit. She actually started putting it together, and I was just there to kind of do all the finishing work for her and stuff. And so it took a day. It was a pretty decent sized project. And if you look on the Instagram, I showed kind of like what it looks like in the end. It's pretty cool. They have like a ton of room now. They have a little upstairs thing where they hang out, and I made sure to reinforce the bottom because I guess like raccoons can dig underneath and snatch them. So it's not just the wire. Like they not only if you don't have the right type of wire, they can reach their little hand through and pull them out. So you had to get the right kind of wire for that, and then you have to get a different type of wire for the bottom so that way they can't, like, you know, dig through it. So, yeah, it was just kind of weird.
So you were building that all weekend?
Yeah, building that. Yeah.
Dude, you are so funny. Everything we have on our plate, and this guy's starting a farm at the same time. She was like, I can barely find enough time to make it to the damn gym and make sure I stay on top of all that stuff. And this guy's adding a farm to his life. So, okay, how many total hens are there?
There's four.
And then if I recall, they start popping out. When they start popping out eggs, it's almost an egg a day.
Egg a day per bird. Right.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward
to
that.
That's legit right there, dude.
See, I like the idea. When I think about it, like, I want chickens too. I do. But I know I wouldn't once I got them.
It's not too bad at all. They're very easy to
maintain.
Yeah,
it's not too bad. Once you get through that whole process of, you know, incubating and, like, you know, having them, like, you know, having to manage them quite a bit. Like, now it's just a matter of just, like, cleaning out the cage. And
so if there's no rooster, they still lay eggs.
Giving them
fertilized.
A rooster is what will make it turn into a baby.
Right. But they still lay them.
Yeah.
They just don't, they're not fertilized.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So that's what, those are eggs that we eat, have got no rooster hanging out. Bro, the rooster's hanging out, they turn into
little
chickens.
What do you feed your chickens?
It's this kind of feed, yeah, that they get, you know, you buy it from the...
They're actually really easy. Once you get them where he's at now, it's just...
Store.
Throw a little bit of seed. You don't even open the gate or anything.
You actually can feed them a lot of random stuff, too. Yeah. Yeah.
We should do leftovers all the time.
Yeah, leftovers.
Feed them worms and stuff. That'll make the egg yolks more orange and full of more
worms.
Vitamins.
Yeah, I've been giving them insects and things to, you know, eat. So
now, when do you eat the hens?
You don't eat the hens, dude. No, you don't eat the hens.
What about when they're done making eggs?
They're not done. They're producing, bro.
Yeah.
Until they die?
Yeah. I think are you gonna play with any anabolics? Maybe hype him up a little bit.
So you
get some extra.
Oh shit!
I should do that.
Bro, let's do this. This is a great idea.
I could get him.
Take one of your hens, just one, and what we'll do is we'll do experiments with different supplements. Like give them creatine or whatever.
Perfect.
Just
then
to
we
see
can
what happens.
Fine tune the right one to sell our listeners.
Oh, yeah. What's that? What's that animal cruelty company that came out with their
PETA?
Yeah. Hopefully, PETA doesn't listen to us.
OSHA.
Right?
Doesn't PETA stand for People Eating Tasty Animals?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does.
They're going to love that joke.
We pissed everybody off. This is cool.
Yeah, no, you're also, you know, I know you're doing this. Where are you at right now? The last time you and I had lunch, we were discussing your latest and greatest project that you got going on. Where are you at with that?
Oh, yeah. So
your invention.
Yeah. So if the listeners don't
know. Cock pump 5,000.
For some reason. Yeah.
No, that's not it. That's Adam's.
I wish, actually. Adam would have used it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's a market for
it. No, he said he wouldn't because he's already gone too far, he said. remember he said that.
He bruised after the last one. Yeah, so, you know, in case you guys didn't know, I tend to be a workaholic. So right after this whole competition that I was trying to just focus on that for a while, and it's brought me back to what I can fill that space up with now, right? Yeah, let's do that. So I had this idea that I was kicking around for a long time. And the thing about ideas for me that I just one day I just decided that if I have an idea and I keep thinking about it over and over again, like I'm going to do something about it. And so a lot of things I've gotten myself into, I just learned right away once I immersed myself into it. And so this is definitely one of those projects that I had in my head for a long time. And I was just fortunate enough to run into the right people after a long enough time to where things are starting to kind of line up. And so I had this invention, and I'll go into specifics as we kind of progress with this. But right now, as it stands, I formed a company with one of my old clients who's a patent attorney, and also this other guy who's this brilliant engineer. And we're basically, you know, crafting something that is really interesting, really innovative.
Very cool.
And trainers will be able to really benefit from it as well.
Now, you mentioned that, obviously, with all the stuff now on your plate, it always makes the training and dieting piece harder, you know, and you just came off of being super hardcore. What are you doing now, like, as far as I know you never stop working out, but obviously that's changed your mm-hmm. your attention. You know, I know what it's like to train for a show and to be on a timeline, like you were just on a timeline. And obviously we all have other things that we do in our life like you do. So what's that pie look like now?
Yeah, so I'm trying to actually incorporate everything that I was doing, but I'm spending less time, I guess, managing specifics. So kind of like how Sal was talking about the other day where he was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on protein. I kind of have an idea of, you know, carbohydrates and fats. And so I'm taking elements of the fasting, like kind of a couple times a week to sort of maintain what I got down to. And then I'm also paying attention to protein, and I'm also making sure I'm getting my trigger sessions in, especially when I'm really loaded on a busy day, because yeah. I know I have like 10 minutes where I'm just going to boom, 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 hit it. And then maybe another time of the day, boom, 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 hit it. And then I'll probably get like a more sporadic 3 days a week of my foundational lifts in, but I still feel like I'm probably like super maintenance right now. I haven't really advanced.
Well, what was interesting was that the other day when we were in here and you were talking about how you're like, ah, I love it, man. I've been playing basketball. I'm like, I'm moving quick. I'm agile. And I mean, some of the terminology you used, you know, describing yourself, how you were shocked at how much faster and more agile you are now because you're leaner.
Right. Yeah. That's totally changed. Yeah. I started playing basketball. I kind of backed off a lot of the high intensity movements and things I was doing before. And like two days before yesterday, I hit the pads again with one of my friends, and we're doing like serious like boxing combos. And I love the guy, but he's just like was deciding to, okay, I want to kill him, you know, like it wasn't just about like form and technique. After a while, it was like, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm like, dude, I'm not used to like pounding like that, like conditioning wise. So, but if the thing is I could hang, you know, my movement was really good, but my conditioning like isn't there like it was because I wasn't focusing on that. But when I was playing basketball, dude, skills. I'm just gonna say, dude, I was draining, I was cutting, you know, like it's such a difference when you're able to make that first move and you're not heavy, you know, on your feet. You're a little bit more on the forefoot. You know, that movement is really quick and punchy. And I was getting elevation as I was going for my jump. And yeah, it's
didn't
it's
you say
crazy.
Some dude was being like a dick and you had to
yeah
you had to check him a little bit?
Well, I felt like a dick because
oh, you were the dick?
Yeah, because I mean he was being kind of a dick and
what was he doing?
I was playing under the hoop. I was like I was playing like power forward. I went from like taking the ball up, being point guard, to power forward. I do that all the time because point guard was my position in high school, and then I got, you know, I grew out of that. And so I was underneath the hoop, and this guy's like, you know, fouling me and hacking me from behind, and then I just was like gonna take it up strong, and I gave him a head fake, and then he fouled me real hard, and I never really call my fouls because I'm not that guy, and so he fouled me again, and I just threw my head back and nailed him right in the eye, in the nose. Totally purposely, too. And I just jacked him.
What a jerk.
Yeah, and his nose got all bloody, and we had to stop. I think his tooth even got a little loose. And
see, I told you the other day when we were talking about fighting and stuff like that, I tell you, Justin is
I repressed that, bro. Like, you talked about that.
Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't let it out a little
he
more.
He says he repressed it, then he's just talking about how he just knocked some. Well, that's, he's playing some pickup game, and some old 40-year-old guy just got a freaking headbutt.
Dude. Yeah. I'm just trying to. I gotta say, like, I've calmed down a lot, like, over the last decade. That was a long time ago. Like, that was before I even was married. That you brought that up. Yeah,
that's true. So, I did roll you under the bus on that one. I know.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I was just comparing.
I'm not a violent guy. Let's just put it out there. But if you fuck with me,
if you play too rough basketball against him, he's gonna fuck your shit up. So otherwise, he's cool.
I'll mess with you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what? When I used to manage gyms, I swear to God, if you had a basketball court in your club, you're going to break up fights at least, once
Isn't
a month.
Isn't that where they always happen?
Yeah. And you know what? It's not the kids, dude. It's not the freaking teenage kids that are playing that are getting fights.
Oh, no, it's always adults.
It's the old dudes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's the dudes in their 50s, and they're just getting, and they throw down and fight.
Dude,
they
feel like they have to prove something. Yeah, yeah. It's so stupid.
So if you would say, Justin, when you get in a situation like this, too, where you kind of switch gears, like your mentality, what tends to suffer the most, your training or your nutrition, and, you know, how do you handle that?
Good question.
Or both. You know, do you feel like you got a little bit equally, and then you're just kind of like...
Yeah, I would say my eating, just because, like, I had a poker night over the weekend, and, you know, this is one of those, I don't even have to have confessional anymore, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, the limelight isn't on me and my progress in training, which is, you know, it's nice, but at the same time, like, that isn't not in
that,
my head.
That accountability.
Yeah, that accountability is sort of not there, and so... And this is, I'm sure, where all the listeners are at, right? They don't really have that intensity because maybe they don't have like a network of people watching them and sort of keeping them accountable with that. So I highly recommend that. If you guys can start something, like generate some sort of, you know, just friendly competition, or maybe it's just like a little group you start on Facebook or something. Like, that's always beneficial when you can get other people to watch you and see progress and keep you accountable. So for me, if it's not there, it's less intense. I mean, I'll kind of manage by just looking at myself. But or if I know, like, okay, I drank, I had, you know, alcohol over the weekend, whatever, and so then I kind of, you know, I make sure to really
adjust
and intensify, and then really like make up for it, but just basically try to keep it all together.
See, I'm the opposite. If I'm bored and I don't have a lot of stuff going on, that's when my diet tends to go bad.
Mm.
When I'm stressed or focused on a lot of things at once, I tend to use nutrition and exercise as my, like, I feel under control.
You and I are so similar when it comes to that. The more I have on my plate, the better I do. Than
always. I'm more organized. It's like, it gives me a sense of, like, control. Like, okay, I know I'm going to work out at this time, and my diet's going to be
done. I find the reason why I'm so successful that way is because there is no room for error. Because everything is so, I mean, even like today, like getting over here, you know, Justin needed to meet a little bit earlier today and stuff. And so it's like, it's already a challenge for me to get here when we normally get here, and I'm like, shit, you know, and all my meals all scheduled out, I have my workout scheduled out, my work is scheduled, and so I don't have room for like, oh, okay, well, I'll get to that later or whatever. So, but it makes me more successful because I have to plan, where otherwise I'm a procrastinator. I'm the guy who waits till last minute to knock things out. I was always the guy in school who, you know, the night before, you know, a paper is due, I was writing it at midnight or whatever like that before I had to turn it in the next morning. Like, that's just my personality. But when I have something that's a deadline, or I have that pressure or whatever, or I have a lot on my plate, and I have to schedule or else I will just completely fail, it forces me to do the same thing too. So
I feel, I understand where you guys are coming from with that for sure. I think that for me, that I compartmentalize more of my load. So I feel like I have one too many things now where, yeah, it's interrupted my nutrition and training again. So I'm going to have to readjust so that becomes more, you know, of my priority. But, yeah, I tend to do that. Like, I'll make sure that, like, I look at everything and I make sure, like, which one I'm going to kind of put up as my main intensity. And then I just focus the shit out of that one. So, I don't know. I get kind of in a zone.
Were you a procrastinator in school? Or did you do your homework when you were supposed to?
I was a procrastinator for sure. And then, like, later on, I've learned to tinker more and take chunks and pieces from things. And then that has helped me a lot more to accomplish things, surprisingly. I know for some people, they just have to lock everybody out and, you know, really grind on that one thing and finish it. Well, for me, like, kind of spreading it a bit more, but coming back to it, I tend to look at it totally differently the next day. And then I'll hammer out a bunch of progress and then I'll leave it. I'm like, okay, I'll come back to it. Mainly because I have to, because, like, my kids will pull on me and I, you know, they want daddy time and, you know, and I got to make time for my wife. And it's just like, this is the only way I can survive is to do it that way anymore. So it's just how I've evolved.
That's what scares me about having kids. And I actually use what you just said all the time, because I'm the guy who has to sit down and knock it out. Like, and I won't even sit down unless I know I have an allotted amount of time to accomplish whatever it is I have to accomplish. And Katrina is, like, the one who holds me accountable to everything. Like, she's my calendar, she's the bills, she's the everything. She, like, keeps everything together.
Yeah.
Without her, everything falls apart. So she will always be like, I'll tell her all the things I need to accomplish, things I need to get done, and deadlines for that. And so she'll always be, like, reminding me, like, hey, hon, did you take care of this? Did you do that yet? You told me you need this done by this. Did you do that yet? And, like, you know, sometimes I get frustrated and I'll be like, no, I have not had a time. I haven't had 2 hours where I could sit down and knock that out. And she's like, don't get mad at me. You're the one who told me to remind you. But I've just, that's a skill set that I have not had to do yet. And it scares me, because I know that's what will happen with kids.
You're probably going to be a lot like I'm so passion driven that if I'm passionate about something, I'm obsessed about it. And so I'm always working on it. If I'm not passionate about something, it's like, it's fucking impossible.
Yeah,
you know, it is absolutely. You know, I have a blog site that I would write articles on, and then I'd do them, and then Doug would kind of edit them, and he'd be like, "When did you write this?" I'd be like, "Oh, I was doing cardio for 10 minutes, and I wrote this article because I'm passionate about a subject. I'll spit it out, but if I'm not, oh, forget it.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Very much so on that way.
And you know, my saving grace in high school was that, you know, whenever I have a written report, I'd ask the teacher if I could do an oral report, and a lot of them were shocked, like, "Oh, you want to stand in front of the class and give an oral report instead?" And be like, yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of them would say yes, because they'd think, oh, he's trying to do something that's more difficult. In reality, I'm like, I could stand up here and bullshit all day long. You know? And it's going to be so easy. And I would get A's because I just go up
that's
there.
That's funny, because, okay, so how funny is this that we're like each other here? God, sometimes I swear we're twins. I was the only class that I was in all advanced English classes. So I was in honors English through high school. Everything else, I was pretty much, I would say, an average student. You know, I was a 3.0 GPA and took normal classes. But in English, I was always advanced from my sophomore year up. And the reason why was because my sophomore teacher told me I should, which I thought was really crazy, because I couldn't spell if my life depended on it, and I'm grammatically retarded. So I thought there's no way that I should be in an advanced class. But what I could do really well is I could bullshit. I could write papers. If it's in English, you know, when you write essays, there is no right or wrong answer. You know, it's not 2 + 2 = 4 always. You know, it's, hey, if you can put together a good argument and defend your argument well, and you could put that on paper, you would do well. So I actually excelled really well because of that exact reason. And I would, same thing, I would wait till the last minute the night before, I'd rip out this paper because I could just bullshit, I could do it, you know. And then, you know, it definitely advanced my skills to do that later in life. But I still, now what I have to do is, like, when I write a very important email, just like we just did the other day, you know, we're writing to someone really important, I can rip something out, but then I need somebody else to edit it and rewrite
it. Back checking. Yeah, there. Yeah, it's all right, that's why we're a team.
Yeah.
Team level up.
Mind pump
done.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.